It's time for the Geek Missile Podcast, broadcasting from somewhere in the Pacific Northwest. Now, here are your hosts, Randy and Adam.
Thank you so much for joining us. It's Randy and Adam, and we're live from Germany.
Wunderbar. We got beer, cheese, and pretzels, and we're ready to go.
We should do umpapa today.
Umpapa and alcohol to spare.
Let's have a... What's the sausage? Let's have a bratwurst, yes? A
bratwurst and some schnitzel and maybe some sauerkraut. Not to be completely confused with sour croutons.
Very different. You don't want the same. Well, by golly, I'll tell you what. We must be having a good day. Welcome. Thank you for joining us today on Un Geek Missile Podcast.
Un papa.
Jeez. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fantastic.
Sounds like it.
I mean, Buffalo Wild Wings destroyed my anus, but aside from that, I'm doing really good.
Hey, anal destruction. You have to be careful of that. It's a real pain.
I've got big plans for the weekend. I'm planning to try and cook some salmon because I'm like, if I eat fish, I won't eat a cheeseburger because I'll be full on fish.
That makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
And it would make perfect sense, but I go to these websites and I'm like, oh, I'm going to go get, you know, me a recipe and just something easy because I don't have salmon recipes on hand.
And oh, what are you talking about? Everyone's got them. Yeah, I've got one in my pocket right here.
Yeah, your Betty Crocker salmon book. Come on, now everybody has these.
Well, how are you going to cook it? What are you thinking?
Well, I want to do it on a barbecue grill, and which I knew you'd actually be the person to talk to first, so I actually thought that would be, you know, that's your wheelhouse to know where to go with that.
Sure. You want to cook it on a grill? Barbecue, charcoal, or gas, or wood?
Propane.
Propane,
yeah.
Perfect. So, let me ask you this. How do you like your salmon? Do you like it moist? Do you like it more dry?
I like it more moist. I like a good, like a nice savory sauce, something, you know,
earthy. Let me ask you this. Are you afraid to eat sushi?
Not at all.
Okay, wonderful. Then, what kind of flavors do you like with your salmon?
I found balsamic is good, and so is citrus. Both of those flavors are good.
Citrusy, flavory. Okay, wonderful. Do you like a buttery flavor, too?
Yeah.
Oh, good Lord. All right, so here's what you're going to do. You're going to take your salmon. Does it have skin on it?
Actually, yes. Yes, it does.
Skin. Okay. So, I just cooked some salmon the other night. I was at a friend's house. I cooked salmon and chicken and asparagus and what are those things that look like? Oh, zucchini.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I've got asparagus, zucchini, too. That's another part of the deal.
Oh, that's going to go on the grill, bro. Okay. So, I did all those. And it came out wonderful. It was so delicious. Cooked it all on one grill almost at the same time. So for your salmon, no. Let's start with your side, your asparagus.
Yeah.
Okay. So you want to keep them long, okay, instead of cutting them into thirds or fourths or whatever.
Yeah.
You're going to put them in a bowl, and you're going to take olive oil and sprinkle that on there. You're going to put some salt on there, some cracked pepper on there, and then I recommend, if you don't have diced garlic, then just maybe if you can find a little jar of pre-diced up garlic.
Yeah, I've got some minced garlic.
Okay. Or just chop up some if you have to. Put that in the bowl and toss it all around. And then let it set. Then you're going to take your salmon. You're going to brush it with a little bit of olive oil, you know, or just pour it on there. It doesn't matter. But you want it to kind of coat the salmon. Both sides would be great. Same thing. Salt, a little pepper, a little garlic, if you can. And then you're going to take a pat of butter, right? Just cut yourself a little pat off your butter stick and just set it on the salmon. And then you're going to get your grill. You want about 350, okay? Then you're going to put your asparagus on there and obviously lay them longwise so they don't fall through the grates.
Just,
you'd be surprised. You have to tell people that. So
there's asparagus in my coals or my propane chambers now. So,
yeah, every time I put them on, they fall through the cracks. Well, lay them the other way then, my friend. But then put your salmon on there. Give it 3 to 5 minutes. Don't flip it, just rotate it. Okay, so like it's laying this way. Now just do like a
90 degree turn.
Yeah, 90. Hold on, let me count the degrees. Yeah, 90. and then another 5 to 10 minutes, right? Just let it, and that 350 is going to be good. Keep that lid closed. And that pat of butter will start to melt and kind of coat that thing. Also, you want to take like a lemon, right? Yeah. Cut a circle out of it, cut that circle in half and, you know, and make it maybe a quarter inch, you know, thick, and cut it in half and just lay each half on top of the butter. Okay. And then just let that kind of cook in there. Okay. Then you always want to check your salmon, but I like mine more towards rare. I'm okay if it's not quite done in the middle. I'm good with that. Some people do not want their salmon that way. But then when it's done to your liking, take the other half of the lemon and just squeeze it over the top on both. Give it another 30 seconds and pull them off. Perfect salmon.
Amazing. I'm ready for that. I'm going to do that when I get home today. Just got to drop by and grab a few ingredients like some lemon and
garlic.
Yeah.
And salt.
Lemon,
and
garlic, pepper. Salt and pepper. Now, wait, salt and pepper for sure. Lemon and garlic maybe. And then they always have that one. What's that sprig of stuff they always put on top? There's like that.
Rosemary.
Rosemary. Maybe I'll get a sprig of that too.
Sure. Rosemary is great. It's an aromatic.
Oh, okay.
So you're gonna more smell taste it than you are.
Okay, than an actual.
Yeah.
And yep. I was gonna say, and the cool part is what Randy did here so artfully is he told me how to do everything, but he didn't feel the need to go back and recant days from his past, from like his mom buying salmon at a local fish market.
I can re-edit that. Would you like me to go back to the days when my mom used to take me to the Agora and we would walk through and looking?
That's the problem with these websites now. They would, you gave me this very easy to follow recipe that I could follow along with in like 2 to 3 minutes, whereas I have to read 30 minutes of them talking about their childhood and, you know, like why they would choose pumpernickel to make, you know, sour, like to make grilled cheese, and I don't right. need to know.
Yeah, it's nuts. I know that drives me nuts too when they do that, but they're just filling airtime so they can get commercial breaks in there and all that. But,
you know, and we would never do that. We wouldn't just place like a pizza pipeline commercial right now where you could order a pizza for 20% off online.
Right. No. So we're in the middle of a conversation. There's no reason
From
why
the dawn of we time, would. Tales have been told of heroes.
I'm
heroes
just kidding.
Like Hercules, who performed 12.
There it goes. No, just easy. But yeah, there's no reason. Well, there is a reason. It's financial, but that's okay. It costs a lot of money to be rich.
What do you do? We gotta. Otherwise, we can't get our diamond helicopters.
Right. That's it. I know exactly what you're saying. I totally get it, but it's a pain, but it's, you know what? They got
to
do it.
At least I can find recipes somewhere. I don't just have to guess. I can right. guess to a good degree. Like I can make stuff up, but sometimes my experimentation does not go well.
I use the Holy Trinity, salt, pepper, garlic, pretty much on everything. If I do a steak, I use that, you know, and then I'll add on top of that if I want something to come out, you know, with a different flavor, but salt, pepper, garlic, and then take your pork chop and maybe use a cream of mushroom soup and throw it in the grill or the oven and cook it, you know, and you know, but I always use salt, pepper, garlic. That's just, it's the Holy Trinity of cooking for me. That's what I love.
Yeah. And I don't think I've ever heard anybody complain about either three of those.
No, I don't think they would. So what else is new, buddy? What's happening in the game world?
Well, in the game world, well, there's a couple things going on. And just to lead up going to this, I wanted to talk about how I'm excited. There's a game called Halo Infinite coming out, which is the latest Halo in the franchise. And I'm worried about it because the previous game broke the mold of all the Halo games I've been playing since like 2001, which is that if you want to play with the me and my dad always played, for example, right. we wanted to play together. You have two controllers, your one Xbox, the one game, you play it and you have a good time and you shoot some things.
Right.
And this latest installment, the last one they did, they completely eliminated couch co-op. You had to have two friends. You had to have a friend who had an Xbox and the same game as you to play with them through the campaign. And that was really disheartening. So I'm hoping that they learn from that mistake and they're going to fix it, because I think couch co-op is still really cool and needed.
Interesting. So they're taking that ability away?
Yeah, right now it wasn't offered for the last game. And I think they really took a hit for it, because now we had to set up two Xboxes in our house with a TV and then to play on the same couch next to each other with the TVs just next to each other. And I was like, this is stupid.
That is dumb. Why are they doing that?
I honestly think it's just to sell more copies of the game and to sell more Xboxes. Like, I think that it's just like more, you know, they're like, hey, you want to play Halo with your friends? Well, you got to make sure they buy a copy of the game, too.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's gross. I can't imagine, like, if you'd grown up, if Super Mario had been that way, or like Sonic or any of these other games where they would like, OK, well, if you want to play two player, you got to go buy another console. And then nobody would have done it. Gaming would have died when it started.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. But you know what, though? I'm a firm believer, and then the free market will resolve that. So if this is a model that they're putting out there and the public says, you know what, I'm not into it, guess what? They don't sell any copies, you know? And that will tell them directly, hey, the public doesn't want this. Maybe we should rethink this model.
I'm hoping that the problem is that we have such a ravenous fan base for Halo, for example.
Yeah.
That I'm afraid that they don't get enough of a market tell from the people who are upset about it than the people who still buy it, despite that they're not happy about it.
Well,
that's why we got to do so. That's why social media is kind of helpful these days, because even though we bought your game, but let me tell you what we think about it.
Sure. But that's the idea. And when they see that message gets out and other people don't buy it because of that, if they're looking at it going, wait a minute, I need to check this out. And they start looking at it, start looking at other things. They're like, you know what? No. Unfortunately, I'm going to miss out on it because it's a stupid model. But maybe it blows up.
That's agreeable. I think, and I have to, and I appreciate your worldly views on our capitalistic, you know, our capitalism society, and it just makes USA, USA.
Well, I'm just saying, if I put out, let's say we put out the Geek Missile podcast.
Yeah.
Right? And we have 100 people listen to our first episode, but then they come back and then they go, you know, 50 listen to the second one and 25 listen to the third one and 12 and a half listen to the fourth one. You see the math.
They're all killing each other.
Well,
that's the only explanation.
That could be it. Because we do put out a high quality, almost professional podcast.
If you guys are our listeners, stop killing each other. We need more of you to listen.
But if we do that, then that tells us there's something wrong with the podcast. The views are going down. The listens are going down. So it's our topic. It's something else. So the company will think the same thing. The company's going to say, okay, cool. This month we sold that many copies. The following month we sold this many. Hey, sales are declining. What's the problem? And then they'll start looking at the model. They'll start looking at whatever. And that's how they get the message. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get that. And I think that's one of the things that also we as gamers and geeks in the community have to accept is that games have been $50 to $60 for like 10 years now.
Right.
And yeah. Maybe they have to charge more to give us the quality product, because everybody's like, oh, the games aren't as good as they used to be and they don't come complete. And I'm like, you got to buy extra stuff after the game.
Yeah. Yeah. I know exactly what you're saying. So, no, I get it. Makes sense.
Hey, you know what? If a game company will look me in the eyes and go, hey, this game's complete, we've done it all the way through, you won't have to buy DLC, but you're going to have to pay for the game for, like, say, $80 or $90. I'm like, all right. I could agree to that as long as I know that I'm not going to be having to buy DLC or some downloadable content to fully enjoy the game.
What's DLC?
That is downloadable content that you can buy. So essentially some games are like the most notable one I can think of was there was a game called Mass Effect. I think it was 2 or 3. And the game essentially is a space age game where you have make all your decisions make are important. Like if you make friends with certain people, if you do certain things for other people, it all affects the world. It's all very choice centric in games, which I really enjoy. But I guess the way that the game ended, people were really upset because it left it in a way that didn't give an actual ending.
I see.
It was like a cliffhanger, but with no, it sounded like no intent to pick it up again.
No resolution to it.
People were upset. So they introduced some DLC you could buy later that concluded the story. But of course, then that upset people more because they're like, why would you sell the ending as a downloadable? That's, you know, like imagine if you got to the last 20 minutes of like Star Wars or something like that. And they were like, yeah, but you got to pay an extra $15 if you want to see what happens to Kylo.
Right. That's funny. Like there would be a
theater pop-up.
There'd be a revolution.
Okay, who didn't pitch in, damn it?
Yeah, that's... Oh, my God. That would be crazy now that I think about it like that. Yeah, that would drive me nuts. Yeah. Well, you know, again, you know, they did that and then was there millions of people that bought it?
You know, I think that was the problem is because it was one of those things that you found at the end of the game, the feeding frenzy of buying the game when it first comes out hit. So they got a good chunk there, but that did discourage. I'm sure that discouraged people from buying it when they heard about it. Cause I know for me, I took a minute to, cause I haven't got to touch those games yet, but hearing all these things ahead of time, I'm like, man, I hope it's free now.
Yeah. Oh, that's crazy. What else we got?
Let's see. So in the same realm, Stadia, Google's, streaming platform they want to make for video games. They're planning to. So the first thing they've promised us is that all their games are going to shoot for 60 frames per second, which is the smoothest frame rate, essentially the target for your frame rate. They're even saying that they'd like to go to 4K resolution, which I'm like, I mean, if you can still make the game look smooth and do it at 4K, that's going to be very impressive.
Right.
And of course, HD high def resolution support. Of course, if you're going to do 4K, I don't know why they bothered to point that out as a separate thing. I think it's basically one and the same.
Well, they just needed to put a spot on there, I guess. Who knows?
And of course, surround sound, which, I mean, come on. I think that's everybody's.
Anyways. That's a big one. So 60 frames per second in 4K.
Those are high ambitions, and they say you only need a 12.5 megabyte to get 720 of that 4K. So if you want to get just kind of basic looking visuals, but the cool part about it, the part that excites me the most, is they're talking about how they want to bring back couch gaming, like couch co-op, so you could have four people playing games together, and they want to make games exclusively focused on that kind of play.
So like back when gaming was, you know, like in its infancy, where you had multiple controllers.
Yeah, and you invited your friends over physically to your house, and, you know, everybody ate 40 Hot Pockets and 6 Mountain Dews, you know, whatever everybody was into.
And Jolt Cola.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And RC Cola, if anybody, you know.
So is this, do you think with Google's history that they're going to keep it?
So that's my one worry. They said that even if they don't continue to, like, if they decide, hey, this isn't working out, they'll continue to keep the servers up. But if I had to just give them credit based on other projects like Google Glass that everybody was talking about, the Google Lens that they, so you could like smartphone built into your glasses.
Yeah.
They canceled that project. I had a friend who almost, you could pay $400 to get into the beta of it, and you could have a version of it.
I see.
He decided not to and returned it, but. And now the project is no more. So that's the only thing, is they Google liked a lot of projects where they're like, we're going to do this. And then they go, we can't do this.
Well, you know,
the only one I see so far that still seems to be striving that I've heard about from years ago was the self-driving car that still seems to be making pace.
Oh, I see. So, well, on that topic, well, kind of. Did you hear about that rare Canadian made Atari 2600 game?
You know, I'd heard whispers that there's some absurd. How much was that going for?
Like, it's $117,791.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's Canadian dollars. So that's what, 50 American bucks?
Oh, yeah, exactly. And then, I mean, if it had been pesos, I mean, $10.
Yeah. Easy. So it's, but they, it looks like it's a knockoff game of the ET game that came out. Right. Do you remember that?
Yeah. That one that like they found a whole like dumpster landfill with like 80,000 copies or something.
But yeah, it's the E.T. game that was made in 93, and these four developers got together and they kind of changed it up a little bit. It's a third party cartridge development, and it's, I don't know, they put this rare game together, but the guy's selling it for $117,000, man, on eBay. But I'm going to keep an eye on that and see if, you know, they ended up.
If somebody buys
it. If someone buys it, right. It would just blow my mind if they did. So, you know, that's nuts.
I mean, I saw one guy, basically in the same vein here of selling weird things for. I saw somebody sell, when McDonald's gave away gallons of this thing, Szechuan sauce, this promotion Szechuan sauce.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody bought a gallon of it for like $40,000.
Are you kidding me?
$40,000 for the sauce, yeah.
Oh, my God.
This kid got two bottles of it like that. He kept one for himself and sold the other for $40. I'm like, dude, I love sauces. I am the biggest connoisseur of sauces. But if I had two $40,000 worthwhile sauce gallons with me, they're both going up.
Oh,
I'm not
God.
Even I'm not even opening them at that point if I can sell that much.
Well, I need to have a buyer first before I even buy it to begin with. $40,000 worth of this sauce is ridiculous.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. So, yeah, he won the contest from Twitter. McDonald's sent him the 2 gallon containers.
Oh, wait, he didn't pay $40,000. No, oh, yeah. Okay.
So he pay for it, and he turned around and he kept one for himself to use, like for his own nuggets.
Right.
And then he sold the other one for $40,000. And I'm like, I would have started trying to sell them first just to see what I could fetch. And if I'd seen that I get $40,000, I'd be like, hey, guys, I love sauce, but I'm making $80 today. I'm not doing.
Oh, my God.
I don't love sauce enough to forego $40,000.
Right.
If they told me, Adam, you can never use mustard again, but if I could never use mustard again, I'd be like, better be $100,000 and I'll forego mustard.
Well, I'm not a big mustard guy.
Oh, there you go. Easy for you. Take money. Boom.
Easy peasy. But yeah, so you can look at that game if you guys want to go on to the eBay and look for that ET game, $117,791.
If you got money to spare, I mean, pick up a game that, I mean, maybe the knockoff version is better than the game they were knocking off. You know, you never know.
Well, I think it's rare Extraterrestrials is what it's called.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, I guess you'd have to have a lot of extra money to spend it on something like that. What are you going to do? Just take it home and play it?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, or put in, or maybe you could, if there's a museum, you might be able to, because they say these copies like this are only found in like museums across the world. Maybe you could sell it to a more local museum and they might pay more, but probably not. Museums are meant to be more of a
nonprofit
donation, nonprofit. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I tell you what, for 100K, I'll just dress up as ET and walk around your house for you.
Right. Oh, yeah. We will put on the show for you. You can pretend you're controlling us with your controllers, and we will gladly do a live Geek Missile reenactment of ET.
That is crazy. Yeah. I just don't see paying for it. I mean, but
of course, if you took this to any local pawn shop, they'd be like, yeah, I could probably give you about $50 for it.
No, they wouldn't. I bet you they wouldn't. They wouldn't give you more than $3, maybe.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to find the market, but you find the people online. I know a guy who rebuilds Ataris and even programs his own games for Atari, so you can play them on Atari. Which that part's really impressive.
I don't know, but the article, I'm going to put a link to this story in the description, but it goes to talk about how, you know, the saturation of the bad Atari games, extraterrestrials failed to take off, managing to sell approximately 100 copies door to door.
Imagine if games were sold like that now. Somebody just knocks on your door. Hey, would you like to buy a copy of Halo?
Oh, isn't that nuts, dude?
What a different world. Just lived in a different... I missed a good time in life. I think I was born after all these things happened.
Yeah, the Atari... Yeah, so you spent a lot of time playing, you know, games with your buddies, you know, in the Atari age. And it was pretty fun. I mean, I enjoyed it. But, and then Intellivision came out, and then it just went from there. So you had your Nintendo that came out. It was cool. It was a good life. And then you went out and you rode your bike. And then you went out and dug holes. And you, you know, got into a little bit of mischief. But you were home when the streetlights came on for dinner. And that was life.
I got the tail end of that. I used to make read books that were medieval. And about medieval series, fantasy books, you know, Lord of the Rings style stuff. And one of the ones that they talked about using slings. And I learned how to make a sling using twine and jean material. Huh. So I was slinging rocks out of a sling. And
that's good. That was building a life skill.
Yeah.
That if we had an apocalypse,
I'd be able to still be. I was fairly accurate with it, too. I was just like, you just can't use it because, you know, killing people is wrong. And hurting people with slings
sometimes,
you know, but it was cool that I learned how to do that. And now I'm like, well, at least I know for the future.
Now, you know, well, we'll just wait for our apocalypse to happen and then I'll come to your house and you can sling people.
Everybody will still have guns and I'll be like, I got my sling. Oh, we're glad you're here, Adam.
That's funny. Folks, put on your seatbelt because it is time for... Would you rather?
Rather I would.
Awesome. So we did get a lot of feedback on this when we first released this. The would you rather. It was kind of fun. People got into it. So we're going to keep doing it for a while until you decide you hate it. And then we'll probably do it a little bit longer and then get rid of it. Would you rather be able to detect any lie you hear or get away with any lie you tell?
Let's see. I, initially reading it, I'm like... Any lie I hear get away with. The problem is that I'm not confrontational enough that if someone was lying to you outright, they were lying to me. And I've situations before where somebody, you know, California is the capital of Pennsylvania. And I'm like, that's not right. But I don't have, I'm like, yeah, I guess you're right. Cause I don't have the cojones or the stones to confront somebody, even if I know they're wrong.
So you're just not, it's to you, it's all right, whatever.
Like, sake of convenience, I guess I'd rather be able to get away with lies I tell because then I don't have to convince anyone. They just know that I'm.
I don't. Well, So do you want to call BS on people or do you want to be a BSer and get away with any lie you tell? If you get away with it, does that mean nobody caught you or they just didn't say anything about it? I don't know. I don't want to be known as a liar.
That's another thing is you got to think about, because if you're able to get away with any lie, you're basically leading yourself down the path of darkness. Because, I mean,
yeah.
Hey, I'm the CEO of this bank. I need to explore the money and home with me for the foreseeable future.
And touch it. Yeah. I think I would rather detect someone's lie.
Then you could be really good at detective. You could be like, join the police agency, be like, I can detect any lie. And they're like, no, you can't. And I'm very faithful to my wife. And they're like, yeah, caught you.
You're not faithful. Yeah. Yeah. I think I'd rather be a BS detector. So would you rather be a hopeless romantic or a hopeful unromantic?
I'm trying to, the phrasing on that one. I'm like,
so would you, is it better to feel love or be loved?
Feel love or be loved?
I guess is what that one's asking.
Oh, you know,
I'm already kind of more of an unromantic, like, you know, cuddling is fine, but then it gets hot and I don't want to move over to your side.
And I'm kind of a hopeless romantic where I'm always like, oh, what it is to be loved and oh, how I dream of thee. And, you know, I'm very much the
romantic.
Yeah, very much the romantic type who, you know, if somebody's like, oh, we'll go snuggle and watch movies under the stars. I'm like, OK.
I mean, I give flowers to my wife. Chocolates.
There you go. Yeah. You know,
But
being hopeless in that really sucks. There's at least when you're an unhopeful romantic, you're getting some love back. Being a hopeless romantic when you have constantly like you feel all this love for people, but they just don't give it back. That is a painful way to live.
Well, they give it back, but they give it back in the way that they are comfortable. I don't know. I don't like that question. What a dumb one.
Let's see. whoever wrote these for the Geek Missile podcast today. We're going to move past that one.
Why don't you take that one?
Would you rather have too many friends or too few?
I don't know. Growing up, I knew a lot of freaking people. I had a lot of friends. I could get along with the stoners, the jocks, the weirdos, the nerds. I mean, I fit in all those categories. I liked people. So would you rather have too many or too few? I'd rather have too many.
I guess too many friends. Yeah, because then you're. Yeah, I mean, because I can't, if too few friends, the thing you run into with too few friends, because I've been both, I've had points in life where I only had like two or three friends, and the problem is when you only have two or three friends, when those friends get married, or have a baby, or go somewhere else, you're by yourself. When you have too many friends, I just have things where I'm like, guys, I can't do everything all the time. Sometimes I just don't want to go out of my house.
Right. Yeah. I know.
And I think I'd prefer that life where I have to turn down social events here and there than being like, well, I have no one to socialize with.
Yeah. Right. Right. So I'd rather have too many friends. That's what I'd rather have.
Boom.
Would you rather have no taste buds or be colorblind?
Oh, yeah, dude. I'd be colorblind at a heart. My dad's colorblind. We could relate that. Like, I used to tease him and be like, hey, Dad, why are you wearing a pink shirt? And he's like, and he'd freak out. And I'm like, it's blue. And he appreciated that.
I love cooking. So having no taste buds, that would freak me out. That doesn't make sense to me. So
I can't imagine eating something tasteless forever. Like, I can't imagine tasteless food. I'm like, why? Right. I mean, I'd be less fat. Like, there's that. Like, I would be so, because then I'd only eat when I was hungry and it wouldn't matter. They're like, hey, you should eat some vegetables. Yeah, I guess I will, because it doesn't matter what they taste like.
Did you take your metformin today?
I actually did. I took it with my unnamed branded shake to help me lose weight.
Awesome. I did. I take mine too. So good. Yeah, I think I'd rather be colorblind than not be able to taste foods.
Let's see. Would you rather Would you rather never hear music again? Lose the ability to read.
Never hear music again. That's
rough.
You know what? I'm. But if I couldn't read, you can always get the audiobook, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
If I couldn't read, we live in a world where not being able to read isn't the end of the world, because you can have Google be like, you know, you can highlight things on your computer and Google will go, you know, would you rather never hear music again?
Do you want to play a game?
Like, now if this was back in like medieval times or like century times where you couldn't just pull up music on your headphones at any point or things like where you couldn't be surrounded by music and you had to go to like a tavern, or you could learn to read and then be able to get hung because you're not supposed to read. Still rather hear music.
But that's such a weird one, because you could hear everything else, but not music.
That would just like talking to somebody and you go to a concert and everybody's all of a sudden all you hear is everyone's conversation. What? I can't hear you. What? We're going to talk after this concert. Drugs.
Yeah. So music. Yeah. So I would rather lose the ability to read.
I actually would. If I could briefly have that power just to go to a concert, just to hear everyone talking, but without the music in the background, just to hear what people do. That would be kind of funny.
Yep. Yeah, that's a funny one.
Let's see. Would you rather find true love or be rich?
Rich.
Rich.
Yeah.
I'm this is my hopeless romantic thing coming out of me because I'm still like, but I want to make sure I'm with the love of my life.
Okay. All right. So let's walk through this one. Okay. So true love. I've got my true love, right? We're happy in our single wide trailer and our four kids, Mary Lou, Lou Mary, Sammy Joe.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's like, I got both of my broken pickup trucks, but I'm married to the one true love. But I would feel that I have not, because I don't have any money, that I'm not giving my true love the life she deserves.
I can see that.
So I would have that anxiety.
No, that's fair. You'd be like, man, I'm doing great, but living on the streets with my true love isn't quite shaking out nicely.
So if I was rich, I would have the ability to give my true love, but I would never find her.
But you'd have a lot of good friends on the way trying to find true love.
Probably. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so I would have the money and the ability to seek out my true love, although never finding her. What a journey. I'm going to go with rich.
I could see that. I mean, yeah, when I started to think about the I'm like, because I've had these true love moments and feelings, but it does suck when it's like Top Ramen.
Yeah, yeah. The Top Ramen paychecks. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I've been there. I've been to the point where.
So, what would you rather have, true love or be rich?
Oh, I was on the true love thing, but now be rich seems like I'd have a better life.
Right.
Like having found true love a couple times already. Like I'm, you know, I think I've.
When
I've
I was had in high fill. School, I found true love every week. So it's like. And then college hit, and it was sometimes twice in the same day. It was wonderful. I found true love all over the place. Oh, I love her. Oh, I love her. No, I love her.
But I love her more now, that person walking by.
Yeah. So I think I'm going to go with rich. That's my thing. Would you rather be the richest person in the world or the smartest person in the world?
I almost feel like I'm like, or looking at it now, I'm like, but if I was the richest person in the world, I could hire the smartest person in the world to work for me.
Yep. Think of it. If you're the richest person in the world, you don't have to be the smartest person.
We all know that all too well. There's a we've learned this through so many venues for our personal work, people we've known and everything like that. We've known these people who, man, you have a lot of money, but you are a sack of bricks.
Wow. Yeah. And
but it doesn't matter because I still work for you.
And if I was the smartest person in the world, I'd walk around thinking how everyone's just a dumbass.
You couldn't enjoy conversation because every time you talk to anybody, there'd be. That's my question. Would you still find simulation in conversation if the person. Because I enjoy talking to people smarter than me because I get to learn new lenses and things that they're from. But if I was the smartest person in a room, I don't know if I would enjoy conversation.
Yeah, I'm going to go with richest again. I'm sorry, but.
Money is winning it tonight.
Yeah, like, this is. Oh, man, that is crazy. Yeah, I would go with rich on that one.
Okay, let's see. Would you rather have a high-profile job with no family for life or an average job with a family to live by? So we're talking a median income where you're like, you could probably live, you know, you're comfortable. You get your steak once a week or whatever, or your thing, but live in a, you know, maybe a three-bedroom house or whatever with a full family, or you've got a high-profile making money every day.
Right.
You know, career, but you don't have a time for a family life. But they don't really. Do you have time for? Of course, we don't refer to women as.
We do not.
But
wow.
But wenches.
An average job with a family to live by. Well, that's kind of where I'm at now. Or a high profile job with no family. And if you have a high profile job, oftentimes it takes away from the family to begin with, and you are. But, you know, high enough profile job, they come with me. They, you know, if I'm traveling, if I'm doing stuff, but if I'm still stuck, you know, with a high profile job, but I work down the street and I never get to see them. Oh, man.
Yeah, you get those kids that turn out, well, like, I'm rich, but my daddy never sees me.
I'm gonna be
a serial killer.
Yeah, so you get those kind of, you see those movies and stuff like that.
I feel bad for the kids that are in like the poor district and have to go to school with this kid. Like, I understand it sucks if you never see your parents. But some of these kids are like, yeah, well, my dad left a long time ago. And guess what? I'm not rich either. So I get the worst end of both sticks.
Yeah. I mean, if I had a high profile job with no family, then it would be all about me. It would just be my goals, my contribution to society or a company, depending on what it is I did. It would be me. So I would be sacrificing. What if it was your music?
Like, you hit it big, you were a rock star, and you were doing your music thing, but you were so busy with tours and concerts that you didn't have time for a family. That was your, like, you never established one because you were just, you know, traveling too much. Because then you're going to be in the creative process or the performing process that you enjoy. You know, whatever your, I assume if we're gonna go big on this one, like, think of what you would like to do that, and then how you'd make money at it, and if that would be worth it to have that
right.
self-fulfillment. Mm. For me, like, acting and voice acting and things like that, if I knew I was bringing, like, if I got to the level of, say, like, Robin Williams, where I knew that I was making, you know, millions of people happy, I think I could make that sacrifice and not have a family and be okay with it. But if it was just that I was a really good banker, that would be.
See, again, this one kind of goes back to that. So if I had an average job and a family, am I able to provide the lifestyle I wanted for my family? Yeah.
It sounds like you'd provide them an average life. Like, you know, right. like they got food on the table. Maybe you guys go to Disneyland once a year or.
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. You got vacations. You got, you know, your whatever. I might go with that one. Average job with a family. You know, to live by. So I would probably do that one, but always wonder what my life would have been like had a high profile job and didn't have a family.
Yeah, I think that's my, statistically speaking, average job. Now, if it was, you know, if it was my dream job of whatever, maybe I'd go with the richness.
Yeah. All right. So this one, would you rather create history or delete it? Ah.
Oh.
That's a good one.
Man, that is difficult because there's certain. Like, let's just start with the easiest one that I think comes to mind for most people. If you could say delete the Holocaust, like World War One and World War Two, like, let's just say those things never happened. We didn't have that horrific event come up.
If we deleted the Holocaust, would Hitler have died?
See, that's another question. Or would he go to art school? Like, are we writing history so that he has a better life so he doesn't cause it? Or does it just mean those things never happened or that nobody knows they happened?
That's a hard one. I'd rather create history.
Create,
and that's what we're doing here at the Geek Missile Podcast. We are creating history right now. Those of you listening to this, welcome to history.
You're going to be written in pages. People are going to go back and draw mustaches and say, turn to page 76 for the next part, and you're going to see us in history books.
Yeah, I'd rather create history than delete it. I mean, what happened happened, nothing we can do. I'm not going to delete it. I'm going to leave it because we learned lessons from history.
Yeah, we did.
Good and bad. Yeah.
Let's see. Would you rather create a great piece of art and not get credit or get credit for a piece of art you didn't create?
Oh, that's a hard one because, boy, who doesn't like credit?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Because I'm like, I love to create things and know that they're enjoyed. Like, that's important to me. Like, that's why I liked cooking when I was doing things but usually I cooked for people I knew. So I'd hear, oh, Adam, great job with the chicken.
You know, though, going back to the music realm. There are people that write music and then an artist will come along and purchase that music. And they now have the rights to say written by them sometimes. And I would think, but see, or create a piece of art that you didn't, or get credit for a piece of art you didn't create. And that's like, isn't that the story of like Achy Breaky Heart? Like the guy that wrote that, it was stolen from him for the most part.
Yeah.
And the guy who did get the credit, what's his name? I don't know his name. I can't think of it. It's Miley Cyrus's dad.
Yeah, Billy Ray Cyrus. That's right.
So, you know, he got credit for that song, but he didn't write it.
And I guess it depends on your personality. For me, if I had a media storm following me where they were like, where was your inspiration to making this beautiful piece of art? How did you come across this? I'd be like, after a while, I'd be like, Galabia, I don't know. It just came to me in a dream.
See, and then. Create a piece of art that you did not get credit for. I think oftentimes it comes to light as to who wrote it. And you may not get like, you know, it may have already lived its life. That piece of art, it already was famous. It was already great. It was already something. And then, you know, come to find out Randy Howe wrote it. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's cool. Bye. You know, so you would get the credit eventually. But I would say, I don't know. I'm going to say did not get the credit for.
That's kind of where I'm at. As a creative, I appreciate, although I know it must suck for the guy who wrote the Achy Breaky Heart. Could you imagine? Man, this song really speaks to me, man. Billy Ray Cyrus is just such a true visionary of knowing how to write to your soul. And you just have to sit there and just be like,
Yeah, that's, yeah. So I'm that's my answer. I'm going to go with credit I didn't get.
But I'd still feel good about it, because anytime I heard people talk about it, even though they weren't saying my name, like, man, this is the greatest piece of art I've ever seen. And be like, Yep. I did that.
Well, that is it, my friends. That is what we have today. That was Would You Rather. Oh, I screwed it up again. Hold on. Would You Rather. There we go. We got it. That was cool, man. That's fun. I like doing that kind of thing.
I think it's important to our session. I think it helps support the show.
I think it does, too. It's a lot of fun. So, folks, that does conclude today's episode of the Geek Missile Podcast. As always, we appreciate you listening to us. Check us out on the line if you guys want to go, if you guys are connected on the line at geekmissile.com. Of course, we're on Twitter and Facebook, and soon to come, MySpace.
And Patreon.
Oh, yeah. Adam was going to do that months ago.
Yeah, someday. It's coming.
All right.
But we love you.
We do. Thanks for listening, folks. Have an awesome night, and we will see you next week.
Fare thee well, adventurers.
This has been a Geek Missile production, and it was almost professional. We thank you for listening.